Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
You're alive, or kicking, or chowing chocolate, or got your mouths full right now. That's what's going on. Happy Easter to each and every one of you and to your families. It's a rainy Easter Sunday, so well done for getting here, people. It's no mean feat to get through Joburg's roads on an Easter Sunday like it is. So well done. And can I ask us, shall we stand together? And let's take a moment to pray. Lord, thank you for this moment. Thank you for Easter. Jesus, we are so incredibly grateful for Easter Sunday. We're grateful for the journey of the weekend from Friday to Sunday, that the death of Friday ends with the resurrection of Sunday, that the despair of Friday is exchanged for the hope of Sunday. And Lord, every single one of us, we're in this place now, not out of tradition, not out of ritual, not out of any expectation or compulsion. We're here on a rainy Easter morning because we desperately want to connect with you, because we want to hear from you, God, because we want to show how much we love you, because we want to be with each other. We want to be the church in this moment. And so we pray today, Father, I pray for your blessing over every person and their family, every mom and dad, son and daughter, grandparent, granddaughter, grandson. Those of us who are friends, who have come together as friends today, I pray that you'll bless our friendships, bless our families, bless the family members that may not be here, that may be scattered all over the country or the world. We pray for your blessing over each one. And Lord, we pray above all, speak to our hearts. And Father, I pray for a deep sense of the personal love of God to embed itself in our hearts today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Thanks, everybody. Have a seat today. And let me start by telling you a quick fable. Once upon a time, there was a little prince who was used to having everything his own way, and he was used to having everything his heart desired. And this little prince was so spoiled, this guy, that he wouldn't let anybody in his kingdom have a new toy unless he got a copy of that toy as well. So if some kid in the kingdom got a new toy, he would get the exact replica of that toy as well. One day, there's this mysterious toy maker that rocks up in his kingdom, and this toy maker is a toy maker of note. And the prince liked this toy maker's toys so much that he put a proposition to him. He put an offer to him and said to him, I want to commission you to make me a new toy every single day of my life for a year. The toy maker agrees. He says, yes, under one condition. And the condition is that if I make you a toy every day, you have to play with every toy that I give you every day. Every single one of the toys that I make you, you've got to spend a few moments a day playing with this toy. The prince is greedy. He goes, let's go for it. And the deal is done. From then on, every morning, the prince received a new toy and he would play with the new toy. But after a while, the maths begin to work against him. After a while, he began to receive so many toys. He had so many toys. Now he was expected to play with each of these toys every single day, and he was not getting it right. And so the little prince decides to do something. He decides to take a whole bunch of the toys and farm them off to one side, put them to one side in his room, and not play with them. The only problem was these toys became very, very angry and lined themselves up in front of his bed at bedtime and demanded that he honor the deal with the toy maker and play with them. Which he did late into the night. Early the next morning, he wakes up after having gone to bed so late. The problem is now he's got those toys to play with, plus the new toy for the day. Pretty soon, this little prince is bathing while he's playing with the toys, brushing his teeth while he's playing with the toys, eating while he's playing with the toys, even sleeping and playing with the toys at the same time. You get the picture. He has a problem on his hands. he says, I have an idea. So what he decides to do is he sends for the children in his kingdom. You see, because what he had seen from his castle window one day was these kids in his kingdom playing, not with the toys, because most of them didn't have toys, but playing with a little stone. And so these kids in the kingdom come somewhat gloomily to the prince thinking we're going to get our toys, our one little stone that we have taken away from us. Even that little that we have, he's going to demand it from us. And so they enter the prince's presence. But to their pleasant surprise, the prince has another plan in mind. His plan is to allow them to play with his toys. And then after playing with the toys for the day, the favorite toy that each and every child feels is their favorite, they get to take that toy home and it's theirs. The idea begins to work. The maths begins to swing in the prince's favor. Pretty soon he's down to just a manageable amount of toys. The kids in the kingdom have got toys. He's got new friends and he's got his life back. Everybody wins. Here's the crux of the story. This prince had to learn to exchange one way of living for another. He had to exchange one system for another. He had to exchange one worldview for another. He had to exchange greed for selflessness. Are you with me? I think Easter, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday is, at its essence, it's about a whole bunch of exchanges, actually. It's about the exchange of grief for hope. It's about the exchange of despair for joy. It's about the exchange of death on the Friday for life on the Sunday. It's about the exchange of the cross for the throne. And there are two exchanges we're going to dive into today for a few moments together on Easter Sunday that I think are two of the most profound exchanges that happen just under the surface of Easter Sunday, but which change everything for us. The first is Jesus' exchange. There's an exchange that goes on in Jesus' life. There's actually many going through the story of the Easter weekend, but there's one today that I want to pull out for you and then encourage you for a few moments with what that means for us. And the second is an exchange that we as human beings make that Easter Sunday invites us into. You ready to go? Yes. The first one is Jesus' exchange. Matthew chapter 27 says some of the governor's soldiers, so just quick context before you read the text, we're going to backtrack here to Good Friday. So although today's Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, I'm going to quickly just do a quick rewind to Friday to situate us and help us understand where this exchange has its roots. Okay, some of the governor's soldiers, they took Jesus into their headquarters and they called out the entire regiment of soldiers. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. And they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again, and then they led him away to be crucified. The underlined text says they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. Good Friday, Suffering Friday, Crown of Thorns. That's the one visual I want to ask you to just keep with you. Then let's fast forward now. Through the Easter weekend, past Resurrection Sunday, past the ascension of Christ back into heaven. Now the next picture we see of Jesus is of him not on the earth, but in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, on a throne, and now he's got different crowns. So let's read it together. Revelation chapter 19. This is called Revelation. The book is called Revelation because the apostle John received revelation from Jesus. He had this incredible dream, this vision. And so this is visionary language. It's imaginative language. It's figurative language. It's not literal language. Are you with me? Here we go. Revelation 19. Then I saw heaven opened and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. Just the underlined text to highlight for us. And on his head were many crowns. What we've got going on here is an exchange of a crown of thorns for many gold crowns. We've got a singular crown of thorns for many crowns. We've got a crown of thorns for a crown of gold. We've got a temporary crown, which was the crown of thorns, for an eternal crown, which is the crowns that Jesus got. And so the first exchange that Easter Sunday invites us into today is this exchange of crowns that happens for Jesus. You see, because the last time the earth, the last time humankind saw Jesus with a crown on was Good Friday with a crown of thorns. And that crown of thorns was profoundly important. It was important because the thorns represented many different things. But as they wove these thorns into a crown and put it on Jesus' head, it was a sign of mockery. It was an act of mockery. The thing that the Roman soldiers didn't know, though, was that in their mockery, they were actually putting this crown on him. And in so doing, fulfilling scripture, which in Isaiah 31, we see he is the suffering servant. He's the suffering Messiah. And so while they made him suffer, what they did is fulfilled scripture. And so even Jesus, in this supposed state of weakness, even in the supposed state of torture, he is in fact becoming the very essence of the thing that God always asked him to be, which was the suffering servant. And so far from it being a sense of defeat or a crown of defeat, it's actually a crown of the fulfillment of scripture. Christ is being who he is called to be. Second thing about the crown of thorns is that as they wove it into his head and put it onto his head, the thorns are massively representative in scripture. Go all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. And as sin entered the equation, as Eve ate of that fruit, and remember Eve ate of it, hey guys? Remember it was Eve. So look at your woman and say, it was you, baby. And now I can help you and just say, it's always been you. Actually, Adam was a wuss because he had no control over his wife whatsoever. And so he just gave in to her, didn't he? She says, eat, and he goes, okay, cool. Where was I? You're distracting me. Oh yeah, Adam and Eve. Ethan. Yeah, thorns. Okay. Garden of Eden. So as they eat of the fruit, what's going on? Remember one of the consequences from that. The scripture tells us in Genesis that one of the consequences of them eating the fruit would be that thorns would grow up from the ground and it would make agriculture exceedingly difficult. In other words, it would make work difficult. It would make work a curse. And so the very building of a livelihood now becomes cursed. And so when the Roman soldiers put this crown of thorns on Jesus in mockery, what they're symbolically doing is they are reminding you and I that he took the curse on himself. Yeah, so took the curse on his head. Third thing about that crown of thorns that maybe you haven't noticed is that in ancient Palestine, in ancient Israel, all the most beautiful flowers had thorns on. All the most beautiful flowers had thorns. And so again, as they placed this crown of thorns on his head in an act of mockery, inadvertently, unaware of themselves, what they were doing is they were affirming his beauty. They were putting the thorns on the beautiful flower. And so far from the crown of thorns being an instrument or a symbol of defeat, the crown of thorns is in fact a fulfilling scripture. A curse-assuming, beautifying act, and they don't even know they're doing it. Such is how Christ was in control, even on Friday. But now fast forward to John's vision. What do we have? We've got Jesus having exchanged that crown for crowns in heaven. The Greek word used for these crowns is different to the crown of achievement. The Greek word for crown of achievement was Stephanos. That's where Pastor Steve's named after. He's like, he's got ancient Greek in him. The word used for the crowns that were placed on Jesus' head is a different word. It's diadema. It's the crown of royalty. It's the crown of glory. And so the point that I'm making is simply this. Crown of thorns, temporary, suffering, singular, object of torture, gets exchanged. Jesus exchanges it for crowns of royalty. Many, eternal, never-ending glory. Now, what's the application to you and me on Easter Sunday morning 2022 in Boxburg? Simply this, it'll be on the screen. Jesus exchanged his thorns for glory, and so will we. Are you with me? The thorns were only ever temporary. The thorns were seasonal. The thorns are seasonal. The crown of thorns never outlasted Friday. It was always only ever going to be there temporarily. Can I encourage you today, church? If there's a thorn in your life, if it feels like you've got a crown of thorns, if there's a suffering season that you're in, can I assure you that it's temporary? Meaning that it may last for a month, it may last for a year, 10 years, it may last till the day you die. But when you pass from this earth into the next, it will be gone. Are you with me? It's temporary. And the life and the model of Christ's resurrection on Sunday is a reminder that thorns don't last. They will go. Amen. The second exchange is our exchange of crowns. We will exchange our crowns too. Check it out with me. Revelation, so same vision, same thing going on with John, same symbolism, same symbolic language. Revelation 4, he sees this vision. He says, "Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I'd heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, 'Come up here, and I'll show you what must happen after this.' And instantly I was in the Spirit. And I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian. And the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads." Okay, hang with me. Park that thought. Let's go down to verse 9. "Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the 24 elders fall down and they worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever." Here's the text. "And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased.'" Okay, let me try and let you know what's cooking here. 24 thrones, 24 elders on them. Who are the elders? The elders are symbolic of God's people. The reason there's 24, scholars believe it's symbolic of 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles that Jesus had, 12 disciples, add them together, you get 24. It's symbolic of God's people. Okay, so when you read elders there, I want you just to think God's people. God's people on thrones with crowns on. Now, what are the crowns all about? Where do the crowns come from? The crowns are the rewards that get given to God's faithful people. Now, there are 5 crowns in Scripture spoken about as rewards. These crowns are really, really important. And there are only 5, contrary to our spoken word play today, which had heresy. There's 8 crowns that we supposedly had here. I'd like to apologize for the heretical spoken word today. The ungodly and unbiblical things that you were subjected to in this service. The 5 crowns became 8. Anyway, it's cool. 5 crowns. What are the 5 crowns? The 5 crowns represent 5 very, very specific things. Christ followers, when they get to heaven, will stand before Jesus. He will declare them innocent. He will declare them saved. and then he will give crowns. 5 of them. Each one represents something profoundly important. The first crown is the crown of joy. That crown is given for men and women who make followers of Jesus in their life here on earth. You'll get given a reward if you've shared your faith. If somebody's joined you in heaven because of your sharing of your faith, you get a crown of joy. And the reason this crown of joy is self-explanatory, you'll be so happy to see them in heaven and not hell. It's gone so quiet in this Catholic church. Secondly, is the crown of life. That's given for enduring through trials. That's given to men and women who endure all the way through their trials. It's given to Liverpool fans who saw it through the 90s. You with me? Maybe one day an Arsenal fan will receive that. Who knows? Third is the eternal crown. This is given for a disciplined life of faith. This is given for those people who lived in a, who disciplined themselves to see the race through. Fourth is the eternal crown. The crown of glory. Fourth is the crown of glory. Well, that's given for leading and loving people. That's given for life group leaders and team leaders and people that were entrusted into our care, and we led them and we loved them well. There's a crown given for that. And the fifth crown is the crown of righteousness. That's given to those people who fostered intimacy with Jesus. It's given to people who didn't, I mean, there's no, notice there's no crown for coming to church. As Cooley said, the coffee is your reward for that. Intimacy with Jesus. Did you pursue intimacy with Christ? That's a fifth crown. Okay, so let me sketch the scenario. 24 elders, the people of God, standing one day before Christ, getting rewarded for what? For sharing their faith, for enduring through trials, for living a disciplined life of faith, for leading and loving people well, and for intimacy with Jesus. And then what happens is this people of God, you and I, one day, and maybe you'll have 2 crowns, maybe some of you have 3, maybe some 4, maybe some of you will pump your crowns, you'll get 5. All of us, we will take our crowns, the scripture tells us, we'll take our crowns and we will cast them before his feet, before his throne. And the reason we'll do that is because even the very fact that we have life, let alone crowns, will be because of him. And so nothing of ourselves will want to remain in the presence of Jesus. And by that I mean no sense of reward, no sense of pride, no sense of ego, no sense of anything other than him will want to be, because his presence is the reward, it will be the reward. And so there's this beautiful picture, scholars who kind of commentate on this say, there's this beautiful picture of what will happen is we'll be getting crowns and we'll be casting them, and then Jesus will be picking them up and putting them on our head and say, no, T, you must get that. That's your crown. And then Tara will be going, no, but I can't, Jesus. And then he'll be putting them back on. And there's this beautiful cycle of crowning and casting, crowning and casting, crowning and casting. It's kind of the cycle of the gospel. Christ giving himself to us and then us giving ourselves to him. And then Christ giving himself to us and us giving ourselves to him. This crowning and casting. What's the key of this exchange? It'll be on the screen for us. The crowns of achievement, they will be exchanged for worship. They will be exchanged for worship. When we get to heaven, everything we have, we'll want to give it to Jesus. But the thing is, we don't need to wait for heaven to begin that process. Wise followers of Jesus will start that process now. And we'll be saying, Jesus, whatever is in my life is from you. The last thing I can do is hang on to it. And so what we want to be doing now is exchanging the crowns of our achievement here on this earth for worship of him now. That's why every moment we gather in a service like this, when we come in, we worship. What's our worship? It's Jesus, you gave me my business. I give it to you. Jesus, you gave me my family. I give it to you. Jesus, you gave me my job. I give it to you. Jesus, you gave me my health. I give it to you. Jesus, you gave me my kids. I give it to you. Some of you would be happy to give your kids away to Jesus. Some of the stories I hear from Kids Zone, you will be happy to give your kids. Jesus, can I give them now? Can I give them now? I'm just kidding. Sort of. The point is that everything that we have, what's going on in heaven is this. Everything we have is because of the faithfulness of Jesus. And so in heaven, we won't be able to hang on to it. And so on earth, we're invited to begin the process now and say, Jesus, the business that I built from the ground up, Jesus, the people that I lead, you've entrusted them to my care. Jesus, the family that you've given me, Jesus, the parents, the sons, the daughters, Jesus, the friends that you've given me, Jesus, the health that you've given me, the purpose that you've given me. Everything I have in this life is from you. And so I cast it at your feet. That's the invitation of Easter, is to exchange the crowns of glory for worship. And listen, we've all got our crowns, eh? We do. For some of us, it is our football team when it is winning. For some of us, it's what we've built in life. There's an element of pride in that, eh? Some of us, it's whatever we do for a living. Some of us, it's we live vicariously through our kids. Check how good my kids are. I must be a legend because my kid's a legend. Some of it's our wealth. Some of us, it's our health. Some of it's our bodies. Some of it's our social media influence. We've all got our crowns, eh? Yeah. So then if you're thinking about your crowns now, and if you're sitting here in church thinking, yes, I've got lots of crowns to cast down, don't worry, because the dodgy person next to you has probably got more. Just quickly look at them and say, you got more than me, so foot tack. You got crowns, I got crowns, we've all got crowns. Hey? You're still with me?
Yes.
All alive?
Yes.
Here's a question for you and me today. What crown do you need to cast at his feet? Because in heaven we will do it. Like in heaven, everything will be perfect and we will do it. So here's a moment for us to do it right now in this world. I think Easter Sunday reminds us of two realities and two exchanges that happen. The first is that thorns are exchanged for glory. I want to invite you, maybe just take a shot of this, because this is the essence of what I'm saying to us today. This is kind of the bottom line. Listen, if you were to listen to me on 1.5 times on YouTube, you'd get to this line, yeah. Thorns are exchanged for glory, and crowns are exchanged for worship. And here's the great dysfunction that you and I carry as human beings. And this is where the gospel turns it upside down for us. You see, what happens in our lives is we think, God, the thorns, they're never going to go. And God, the crowns of reward, they should never go. You get what I'm saying? We go, God, these crowns, these thorns, they're always going to be with me. I'm never, ever going to be rid of the thorns. which is a lie. And secondly, we go, yeah, but the crowns of reward, the things that I've got in my life, the things that are lacquer, I built them, I made them. They should never be cast at your feet. And so we think to ourselves, the thorns will never come off. And we think to ourselves, the crowns of reward should never come off. But the gospel flips it completely and assures you and me, hey, the thorns will come off. And the crowns of reward, they should come off your head. Amen. Thorns are temporary and crowns are for casting. Thorns are temporary and your crowns are for casting. And I think that's the exchange that we're invited into this Easter. Your crown of thorns will not last and your crown of reward should not last. They will both come off of our heads, because in His presence, nothing will stand. We will not want anything to stand. We'll just want Him. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for your word. And Jesus, thank you for your presence in our lives. Jesus, thank you that you went to the cross. You wore the thorns so that we didn't have to wear them permanently. And Jesus, thank you that you exchanged a crown of thorns for crowns of royalty. And in your grace, you're so good to us. You give us so much. Today we want to give those to you. We want to offer you the things of value in our lives, and we want to cast them at your feet and say thank you for them. Now we give them back to you. Thank you for them. Thank you for your grace in giving us our livelihoods, our businesses, our jobs, our intellect, our health, our vitality, our families, our friends. Thank you for giving us the ability to do what we do. Thank you for giving us purpose, significance. Thank you for that. Jesus, today we want to give it to you, back to you as an act of love, safe and secure in the fact that it's better in your hands than it is in ours. So thank you. We give our lives to you. We cast our crowns before you today. And church, while we're in this moment of prayer, I'd love to give an opportunity for you, wherever you're seated across the place today and online, to respond in this moment. And here's the simple invitation that I'm asking you to respond to, is to give your life to Jesus. Give it to Him. Let Him take the driver's seat. I feel like that analogy is going to connect for somebody today. That you've been in the driver's seat, and today there's an invitation for you to get out of the driver's seat and to put Him in it and say, you take my life. You run my life. You rule my life. You be Lord of my life. It'll be the best exchange you ever made. It's like, honestly, it's like a learner driver moving over for Max Verstappen. That's what it's like. And so today there's an invitation for you to do that. I'm going to, in a moment, do a quick count to three. And if you want to respond to that invitation and say yes to that invitation, literally to give your life to Him and say, Jesus, here, take my life, have my life. I know you will do better things with it than what I can. I'm going to ask you, slip up your hand on the count of three. I'll see you. I will say thank you. I will acknowledge you. I will not call you out or do anything weird. We're not a weird kind of church. We'll just say thank you, and I'll include you in my prayer. Ready? Here we are. Those of you who want to get out of the driver's seat, give it to Him. On the count of three. One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you up in the balcony. Thank you up in the balcony. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Don. Thank you on this right-hand bank. Thank you at the back. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, guys. I can see you there. Thank you, ma'am, in the middle bank over here in the blue. Thank you. Thank you in the middle bank at the blue. Thank you at the back. That's awesome. Thank you, ma'am, on this my left-hand side, your right. You can take your hand down. Thank you. I can see you. What a wonderful Easter Sunday, church. So many people responding. Let me pray. Those of you who have responded, you can join me in this prayer. Father, we're so grateful for your sacrifice, God, that you would send Jesus, literally your one and only child. I can't comprehend, I can't fathom what that must have been like for you to send him to die. And Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you that you had the bravery and the courage to go through with Friday so that this moment could exist for us, that we could respond to an invitation to say yes to you, to give our lives to you, to make you Lord. It's not only that you're a Savior. It's not only that we have a home in heaven one day. It's that you offer to be our Lord right here, to lead our lives, to guide our lives, to show us better ways to live. We're so grateful for that. And every person who's responding in this moment, Lord, we give you our lives. We want to ask for forgiveness where we've blown it, where we've gone our own way, but we also want to thank you that you give us a fresh slate, a clean beginning, a new start. And right now, Father, I pray that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will inhabit each and every one of us making this decision in this moment. That the Holy Spirit would flood your lives, fill your lives, begin to strengthen you, begin to live and breathe in you right now. As he's given you new life, may his presence overshadow you, may his love overwhelm you, may his goodness sustain you, and may he give you fresh vision for a life lived for him, through him, and for his kingdom. In Jesus' name.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.